Right, we're live and getting started. Hello and welcome to an edition of Radio 201, the podcast from Benjamin Franklin High School. This is your host, Angelo Fernando, and today I'm doing this not at school because I'm recording this during my fall break. But like I have told listeners before, I sometimes do this even during breaks to keep myself busy and not lose the podcasting kind of touch. So what I did is I'm queued up a few guests, and my first guest today is somebody all the way from Sri Lanka. Surprise, surprise, right? And we're going to talk about all things to do with technology and see if there's any similarities between technology, you know, that he and I practice and are interested in. And you'll be surprised what you're going to hear, because I know this guy, his name is Isura Silva, and he is quite a tech guy. So welcome, Isura.
Happy to be here, Angelo.
Wonderful. So Isura, first tell the listeners, what time is it in Sri Lanka right now?
It's 9:25 p.m.
Okay, there you go. So it's a little before 9 o'clock in the morning here in Gilbert, Arizona. So that means, you know, we have that time difference to deal with, and Isura has been so nice as to stay up late for this. So thank you, Isura.
No problem.
So I think you heard me mention that I said, welcome to Radio 201. Well, let me give you some background. It's 201 because that's the room number of my computer lab. And I like the fact that podcasting is a return to radio. So what has happened to radio in your life or in our lives?
Now I'm 40. I don't have a radio. I don't listen to radio. But I used to have this BBC radio app. I'm not using it anymore. I think it is because of there's so many things that is available, right? Real time. And you can curate your own feeds.
Now, wait, hold on. You said you can curate your own feeds. What kind of information do you generally go after, if not going into radio? And I know you're a podcast listener.
So I have created, lists in Twitter where I can, you know, filter the noise and get to the point. Like I follow, very reliable people I have found through these years that I can, get myself absorbed into, rather than following the headlines of this media craziness that is available on Twitter. So these people and sources are much more reliable to me, according to my perspective. So I go on Twitter, of course. And then again, I have a subscription to Financial Times, FT.com. I go to the daily, their print replica, and I just scan the headlines, and if there's something that is really helpful, I will dig in, because that is kind of a very objective, journalism on a very the nature of brevity. I like that, to dig in and to learn things faster.
So basically, you're not looking for news, but you seem like you're looking for good information. I can see that you're looking for more than headlines, right?
And of course, then curating my podcast list. I like that.
Now, you use this idea of, even though you're using Twitter, you said you like to filter the noise. So you're basically saying that Twitter can be a very distracting channel of information.
I think Twitter is a distracting machine. Radio is not distracting in that sense. Twitter is a hodgepodge of everything, people's emotions, commentaries, and a lot of fake stuff, a lot of opinions. People just go there and vent their anger and frustration. I think it's a very distractive platform. I have a lot of controls to access to it because I'm quite addictive to Twitter, to be honest. So I don't have Twitter on my mobile phones at all. I do have it on my laptop, but that also I use this software called Self Control, where I can, limit my time on these certain websites I spend a lot of time.
Wow, that is so interesting. You're one of those few people who, you know, you may complain about the platform, but you have actually taken steps to do something about it. I didn't know that you don't have it on your mobile phone. That must be a very unusual thing.
Yeah, I don't. I used to have. My goodness, like I was so addictive. Like, for example, I go to a relative's home, and if they are like boring and, you know, it goes to a political banter or something, so I will just go on Twitter. But it is a distraction, but it is not a good thing, because you tend to, dissolve into something that you have no control. I mean, there is no end. Like, you know, you can scroll like infinite. It's not good for your health. So I decided that I have to take precautions to it. So that's why I don't have it on mobile, because, you know, I'm a human. If I have access to that, I will just be on that. I don't even know, like, you know, 30 minutes
I'm glad you mentioned this, because I was, when I was putting all these topics together, which we can talk about, I said, let's talk about humanizing technology. And you hit the spot. You said, I'm a human, which makes me want to ask you about a few things. Did you say in passing that you have mobile phones, as in plural?
Yeah, I do. I have two. Okay, second phone. I have always been an Android user up until this year. And this year I switched to iOS, so I bought an iPhone. The reason why I did not sell the older version is because, you know, 90% of the world in Sri Lanka are using Android. So if I just give that out, I will be completely shut down from the environment. And you know how, you know, Apple environment is so good at, you know, sucking you into their
ecosystem. Yeah,
their ecosystem. Exactly. So I thought of, like, to have some, you know, checks and balances. So I have that Android phone as well. It doesn't have a SIM, but I use the apps to understand how it evolves, and I need to be in touch with the developments.
Oh, I see. So you're using it more like a learning curve and trying to get to understand.
Yes.
That is so interesting. I never heard of people doing things like this. That's why I guess I picked you, because you have some unusual takes on technology. You're not one of the people who follow the template, which is so nice. Now, I'm going to ask you, since we talked about radio and, you know, your independence or non-dependence on radio. When you listen to a podcast, since this is a podcasting show, I'm curious to see how much time do you spend on a podcast, like on a podcast? And if you were to average it out for a week, how many minutes or hours do you use for listening to a podcast?
Wow, podcast. I'm a voracious listener of podcasts. I think it would be, 7 hours per week.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. I don't know whether it's on the higher side, but yeah.
How did you find the time? Because you're working from home and you run your own company, which we'll get to in a moment. How do you find time to listen to that amount of podcasts?
Oh, I mean, it is not that I try to find time. That is kind of like my breakfast. it is a part of my life. That is where I acquire knowledge. Okay. Because it's very intuitive, right? That's why I wanted to have this podcast with a person, talking to another person, because a lot of people ask me, why not you do a podcast alone? I don't like that, because it's like, you know, talking to yourself. You learn a lot when you talk to a person. You know me, like from 15 years ago, I learned a lot in Sri Lanka from talking to common man. So I have the same feeling, like, you know, when you have so many experts on podcasts, on any area that you want to learn from. And they are kind of like having every week, they come on and share their views on the world view and what is happening in the world. It's very refreshing, you know? You become so humble that, you know, how much less that I know about the world, that, you know, you become humble and you want to learn more and to be a balanced human being.
I must tell listeners, sorry to interject, I must give them some context, that Isura is a person who worked for a nonprofit when he talks about constantly talking to humans and, you know, being in touch with people at a grassroots level. He didn't use the word grassroots, but I consider him a grassroots person. And that's why he has that mentality. The other thing is, he's what I learned over the years just watching him and talking to him is that he's somebody who demonstrates what we call continuous learning, right? I heard you mention it the other day that you have learned for yourself, like you self-taught, by following courses in Coursera, right? And for you, even talking to people on a show like this or talking to people at asynchronously, you know, or listening to people on a classroom, to you, everything is learning. So can you expand on that? Like, what made you this kind of person? Were you like always like this, or did you suddenly stumble on it because of your work with Sarvodaya?
No. I had those, you know, seeds in me even when I was a young kid. When I was doing O-levels, we used to have compact discs as music, right? So there was this one of my friend who was very English literate, and he used to listen to songs by Michael Jackson and Madonna. And I felt so, you know, sad that I couldn't understand any of it. So I started getting those cassettes, right, from recording bar. We used to call it recording bar in Goal. And we take these cassettes, CDs converted to cassettes.
I know right? Exactly what you're talking about, because I've done the same thing.
For me to get the latest CD of Richard Marx, I have to wait 1.5 weeks. You know, I have to go put my order in, and 1.5 weeks, I will just cycle to Gold Town and get the cassette. And me and my friend would fight it over, like, you know, let me have the first go tonight. So that kind of a situation back then, because I wanted to learn English a lot. Though we learn English at schools for more than 10 years, by the time we get out of schools, we don't know how to go and speak in an interview in English. So I always had this inclination, I wanted to learn. So I listened to English music and English movies with subtitles. So I was able to pick accents. That was really helpful for me in my work, as well as, you know, connecting to people on my life. Because you immediately know what they, you know, like, what their countries look like, what their music taste is. So I always had that curiosity, and I wanted to connect in at a very human level. So that is why I always talk to people on meetings. When we talk about technology, it's always a human thing. If we put technology up on a pedestal, that's where all the problem comes in. But if we talk to people, how they use it, what makes them tick, that is an interesting conversation. Then we can use technology to suit that and empower people.
So yeah, it seems like you're bringing up another interesting point here, which is you're saying most people, maybe myself included, we put the cart before the horse, right? We go to the technology first, mm-hmm. and then we're trying to see mm-hmm. what can the technology do for us or bring to us, or, you know, how can mm-hmm. we structure our lives around technology? You're saying that you had the seeds of this idea because you're starting with old tech like cassettes and CDs, that you basically made the technology fit into your needs. And I suppose yes. that's probably why you have two phones and Twitter is not on one of your phones. So you're kind of forcing the technology to be what you want rather than the other way around.
Yeah.
I can't say a lot of people who would be able to say they do that.
Oh, well, I was run by technology for a long time. I did not know that. For about 10 years, I was, going after technology, you know, thinking that that is the thing, that I have to be updated. And if I'm not, I will be, you know, outcasted in this world. So I put technology at first. But then again, I understood that there is something called addiction to all of this, because these are, you know, made by, you know, best brains in the world to make people addictive. Their currency is our attention. So when I found out that, so my curiosity went into that. And that's where I put controls and checks and balances on how I should live my life, rather than being controlled by technology, but, you know, use technology to do whatever I wanted to. But it's a fine balance, though. Sometimes I tend to see myself, you know, falling into the two ends, but it's an ongoing struggle.
Yes, yes, it is definitely an ongoing struggle, because right now you may have two phones and 15 apps, but in 5 years' time, who knows, we might have other devices and 200 apps. But I want to ask you to describe what your latest venture is. Listeners of this show are some of my students and some of their families. And in my class, we do talk about AI, about the pros and the cons of AI. And since you are the only person I know of, a young person who started off an AI project or AI company, I'd like you to explain what happened. For a guy who was very suspicious of technology, you suddenly jumped into AI.
I always wanted to be in technology, Angelo. I don't say I'm suspicious about technology. It's just that I have reservations for technology. But I do like to, you know, use my imagination to make it work for me, make it work for whoever people I'm working with. So Octera, my company, which I founded in 2019, was in a mission to do that, because I found AI is the way to go. A lot of people don't think like that, but I understood it is an inevitable thing that AI will eat everything in this world.
Wow. AI will eat everything in this world.
Yes, it has already happened, but a lot of people do not want to, you know, accept that. It has already happened. It's just that, you know, we don't see the bells and whistles at this moment. Also, I have understood that it is inevitable.
How do you spell the word Octera?
A-U-C-T-E-R-R-A.
This could be the subject of another podcast, but this is interesting because you're very new. It's a new type of service that Sri Lanka is going to offer, and you are at the forefront of this. To me, or if I'm to wear my cynical hat, I would say this is automating what humans should be doing. Like, how it's almost like dehumanizing us. But you are coming from a different perspective. How would you respond to that?
So we wanted to give artificial intelligence to many people as possible, because it is a very costly business. AI is very costly, and it takes a very long time. But we found that there are ways we can do better things. So we started the journey trying to sell services in 2019. So we go into companies and organizations and tell these other stuff we can do, and we will have a conversation, and it will take 4-6 months without going anywhere. So then we decided, so there is this thing called proof of concepts in AI a lot. So people are spending so much money on it, and there are two problems on it. One is it is very expensive. The second thing is that proof of concept only takes about 2 or 3 variables, and POC is designed to be a success. But what after that? When we go into a live environment, we have never thought about, you know, the things that it takes to get there. So a lot of people have lost trust in AI projects. So I thought, like, we can't beat this. Like, we don't have time to go into 3 to 6 months of conversation and, you know, end of the day, you know, thinking like, you know, what is going on? So that is when we thought of, like, creating an AI software as a service, low-code platform. So it solves two things. We cut the cost barrier, and if anybody wants to implement AI in their organizations, they can do it on day one, not in 6 months. So you can subscribe to the platform and check, like, for example, Angelo, you want to have a facial recognition system in your organization, example. But you do not have an AI expert in your organization because AI experts are expensive. But Oktera is here to help you because we have our platform ready. You can subscribe to that particular segment. You can drag and drop into your existing systems and use it. It's like Canva. You make a social media post from Canva, but you don't have to be a designer to do that. Same way, within our platform, you can drag and drop capabilities into your enterprise resource planning systems or whatever that you're using. And you don't have to have AI expertise in-house. If you're a web developer and a software developer, that's all it takes. If there is customizations needed, we will help you to do that. So we build that platform so that we can scale into many companies and many geographies. But it's a tough going, by the way, because you have to keep adding a lot of functionalities, and you have to make sure that you have the customer need in your mind rather than pushing what we have. So we don't want to be a hammer, but we want to take care of all the nails that we see.
Yes, to end on that note, I like the way you said it, you know, that basically it frees up humans to be more creative. And I like your Canva example, by the way, because we use Canva in class. This is like so interesting. It's getting deeper into AI. We need to talk more about it. But this brings us, as I said, nicely back to where we started, you know, in that technology has changed, just like radio has changed into Twitter and all kinds of other media channels. But your question is not whether it's good or bad, but whether what can we do with what we have and how can we be more human with it. All right. Thank you, Isra. This has been amazing. You're listening to Radio 201, a podcast from Benjamin Franklin High School. And my guest was Isra Silva from Oktera in Sri Lanka. This is your host, Angelo Fernando, signing off. Thanks for listening.